You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. If you wanted to make it big in the music industry, this is how the playbook used to go. Get some buzz, play some shows, get signed with a major label. But for the hip-hop group Flatbush Zombies, staying independent is a source of pride, with a little creative control mixed in. Their debut album, 3001: A Laced Odyssey, hit number 2 on Billboard's rap charts, and they're here now. Eric, Meech, Juice, Flatbush Zombies, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having
us. Thanks for having us.
I want to talk about releasing this album on your own, being independent. This album's doing really well. Was it scary to do this on your own?
This is Meech, by the way. We're not really on our own because we have a good system and a good team, people that support us.
Well, like what?
Our friends and family, for one. Our fans. You wouldn't be this far. We have great fans that actually support us, and we have each other. So it's not really that hard when you focus and put your minds together.
But why do this without, you know, a big label behind you?
Why do you want somebody in your pocket and in your mind telling you what to do and taking everything from you and trying to steer what's best for your career based on what they think is not you? You're the artist, right?
It's hard when you're an artist and you're doing business also. It's very strange because you also want to be an artist, you know. Eric wants to play the piano. He just wants to create. We don't want to be in meetings and think about all that kind of stuff, but you have to. So I figure the best way to do it is to align yourself with people you trust and you love and figure out how to do it together.
Eric, you used to work for Sony, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you learn anything doing that made you say, I don't want to be a part of this big show? Mm-hmm. What?
I learned that a lot of people get signed to labels because, I wouldn't say a favor, but sometimes people they slip through the cracks just because of opportunity. It doesn't mean that you have a real chance of selling tickets or selling anything. It just means that you're part of a bigger system. And I think we talk about things that are not, I wouldn't say they're wrong, but there are people think they're wrong because they question or they make you inquisitive.
Like drugs.
Major labels, right. Major labels are not really, they're more scared of that. They want you to hear, they want you to make music that's palatable for everybody.
Easy to market,
right.
Very digestible.
I don't think we would have done well. I don't think even now we would do well with that kind of structure.
When you talk about marketing, I was surprised by the fact that you guys were selling t-shirts, you were kind of putting out your own merch before you had this album. Was it even before the mixtapes?
we were making shirts before the mixtapes. Like,
what was going on in your mind when you were doing that? Was it like, oh, we're building a fan base so that when we drop this music, we have a built-in audience? Or was it just that you wanted to do it?
I think it was more like we still are, much like the sneaker culture and streetwear was really big when we were first starting to do the shirts. And I think we got tired, much like the music, we got tired of wearing brands that we didn't really like, or they weren't giving us any recognition from wearing their clothes. So we made our own, just the same way we did with music. It was like, well, can we make music that we think is better than what we're forced to listen to every day? You know?
There was a time where Juice and I would normally say me and Juice, but there's a lot of smart people listening. Juice and I used to be on Flatbush Avenue, literally on the avenue with like shirts in our backpack, selling them to our friends and people in our neighborhood in the very, very, very beginning before we had the online thing. And then when we sold online, there was a time where our apartment was full of boxes. And all we had was boxes in our house, you know, didn't even have enough space to sit on the couch. And we would sit down and mail every single package, thousands of shirts ourselves, you know, and go to the UPS and deliver all that ourselves.
I mean, that's a lot more work than having someone do it for you.
A lot of
work. Yes. But it was fun.
Your album's doing well. You were just on Jimmy Fallon. What's it like to blow up?
We're still ticking.
Yeah, I don't think we blew up yet.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I try not to think about it. You know, you don't get too wrapped up into all that. Just have fun. Keep making music. I don't ever want this to become something that's like to feel like a job for us. You know, I just want us to keep doing it how we're doing it from the
beginning.
But
it is your job.
It is a job, but it's also a very fun. There you go.
Lifestyle.
It's a
job because we're getting paid for it. But honestly, I'd be doing this with these guys even if we weren't. I always tell people this. I'd be making music. Those shirts, if we sold those shirts only to our friends, I'd be still making them. If we only listened to our music and smoked our weed to our music, I would still do it regardless because this is what I like to do.
When we've had other artists on the show, we talk a lot about kind of where the revenue comes from in the music business these days. You guys tour hard. You put out your own merchandise. Where does the money come from?
touring hard and putting out merchandise.
Saving.
In the beginning, the money came from things.
Hustling.
Yeah, hustling back in the days, you know. And then we just kept that money and had that foundation. We never fell off from the beginning. And that was a long time ago. And we just invest in ourselves instead of investing into others. You know, I like a lot of clothes. I like a lot of brands. I like a lot of stuff. I would love to have a car. I want a G-Wagon, and I could afford a G-Wagon, but I'm not going to buy a G-Wagon when I can. We can buy, what, make a hat and pins and jackets and all these things for our fans and feed them instead. It makes me feel better. I'm bringing something to the world rather than just being a consumer.
Well, you do make actual physical CDs. Do you feel like digital music and sort of how much is out there, does that make people value it less? I mean, you put a lot of time and work into this stuff.
I think it does, unfortunately, because the market is so wide that, I mean, not only for somebody like me, I was raised listening to CDs and vinyl and tapes, and I always will go back to that, but I'm also a little older than some of these kids that listen to our music. And I think that part of the digital age is they're missing the tangible part of physically opening the CD and waiting in line. You know, like, we used to be those dudes to wait in line for an album to come out. Yeah, it's that anticipation and, like, when it's not the same as when an album comes out at 12 o'clock and you download it on iTunes.
You have to wake up in the morning and go.
It's different.
The midnight release, if you're lucky, Best Buy, The Wiz back in the days, or Sam Goody.
Virgin, you know, Union Square.
That was a big, Union Square to get your album at 12 if you really wanted it.
So does that translate at all into the way you released this album? I mean, there was a lot of time in between mixtape and album.
Yeah.
What was behind that?
Life. You got to live life, man.
I mean, we were touring so much. Literally overseas, over here, over there. Like, just touring so much.
We didn't want to rush something like that. You know, the last thing you want to do is you have your chance to, you've been waiting to do something your whole life, and here's your chance. You're finally at the NBA Finals, Game 7, and, you know, you didn't practice or you didn't take enough time to think about your game plan or do what you want to do. And I think we did the right thing. We took our time. There's no rush. You don't have to drop an album every year. You don't have to drop a song every week. I don't care if Elvis drops a song every week. I don't care if Michael Jackson did it. We don't have to do it. We do how we want to do it. And I think that's why it hit the way it hit.
I want to ask you about something that happened here, because you're New York artists. You work in New York. Police commissioner came out and said, the crazy world of so-called rap artists who are basically thugs that basically celebrate violence. He went on. This was after the Troy Ave shooting. Does that make it hard to perform in your own city?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it's very unfair. Not all of us preach violence. And just because you make songs about violence doesn't mean you're preaching it. Violence exists. So is a movie director, is Michael Bay an evil man because people explode and die in his movies? And I think it's very unfair. You hear rock songs, let the bodies hit the floor and all this crazy stuff. They don't get in trouble for any of that stuff at all.
So why does it get directed at rappers?
Yeah, you know why it gets directed at rappers. But I think it was very unfair. And it's funny, that same night, it's not funny, it's actually sad. That same night, we had a show maybe 5 blocks away. And there was mosh pits and all of that stuff, but it was beautiful and it was fun and no one got hurt. And it was a beautiful representation of our culture and our people. Black people, white people, Spanish people, Asian people, everyone in the crowd, all religions, all colors, and it didn't matter. So that commissioner, he's closed-minded and he needs to be open-minded, because his kid or his kid's kid is going to look up to us, because that's what's happening anyway and you can't fight it.
What do you guys wish that, and this could be different for each of you, that someone had told you before you got into this business?
You know what?
This is Eric.
The one thing I wish that I knew, that all the things that you see when you hear, like, oh man, this celebrity or this person is losing their mind, and like, there's no clarity. I think on the other side, you're always like, man, they're so rich and famous. What problems do they have? And I think Matt, like, a lot of people have that perspective of like, oh, they kind of strips you away from being human. And I wish that somebody told me, like, when you're actually successful, that people, that those things are going to start to make sense to you. You know what I mean? Like, I never thought that some of that stuff, like the controversy stuff or people being evasive or not respecting you, I just thought that was just like something that you just deal with later. But really, that's every day you deal with people. There's people that love you, but there's also people that are trying to take advantage of you, and also people who don't really know who you are. They just want to be around you so that they can seem cool, you know?
As like, that's a byproduct of success.
Right. Yep. That's a big, like, I really wish that somebody told me that so I was more prepared for it, you know?
One of my main things is people forget that you're a human being, and when you're a public figure, you know, today I may say I hate tomatoes. I do hate tomatoes, and they know that. But who knows what happens next week? And if I tweet or I say publicly in a song or I say in an interview I like tomatoes, someone's going to go back and say, you're a hypocrite, bro. You said this, you said that, and you're not allowed to grow. And people fall in love with the person that they met. If you heard Michael Jackson's Thriller, so when you hear Black and White, you're like, I don't want this. I like Thriller, Michael Jackson. And people do that all the time. And if I knew that, I don't know what I would have done. I mean, you can't change it. But that thing, that really bothers me, because it's almost like they don't want you to grow. They want you to grow how they want you to grow. They want you to work with who they want you to work with. And another thing that used to hurt me in the beginning was, and that was very briefly, is like someone will say, a lot of people like Flapper Zombies now, like, and they're sad about it. Or, you know, someone will say that we changed because his hair is longer and our clothes are a little bit more expensive and I can get a shape up every week now if I want to. And those are little things. Those are minuscule. It's not important. What's important is this guy here, his beautiful beard. This guy here and his beautiful abilities to play the keyboard and my voice like Barry White.
Damn right.
Eric Meech Juice, Flapper Zombies, thank you all very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.